Good morning.
Good morning.
Proverbs 29, please. I didn't think I was busy this morning, but I ran out of the house and I forgot to throw my tie on. Forgive me. I think I am. Well, happy Father's Day to the fathers out there. I've been a father now 15 years, and it's been a blessing. Hopefully it'll be a blessing for you today as you reflect. You know, there's one father in the Bible. I preached a message once about a mixed Father's Day, and that's found over in Luke 15. If you're familiar with the story of the prodigal son, the father came to realize that his son that was far was now near, but his son that was near was now far. And so it was a kind of a mixed emotion for him on that day. And so, you know, it's what a blessing it was for the one who was lost to now be found, but yet the contrast in the one who, you know, was there near him all along. All that is mine is thine, basically, is what he told that son. But yet he had bitterness in his heart and ungratefulness. And so it's horrible as a father to find that out in your children, that they're ungrateful for all that you've done for them. But there's still many years down the road for me, and many years hopefully for you. And hopefully we all can experience the joy of seeing our children saved and serving the Lord Jesus Christ with their lives, because there's no greater joy, the Bible says. Okay, so we're in Proverbs, and we're talking about the different people we find in the book of Proverbs. We've already looked at the prudent man, and we looked at the wise man, and now we're going to look at the angry man, the angry man. When I picture the angry man, if you've seen that little cartoon, again, I have younger children, and so I've seen it, but he blows his top, and he's got like flames coming out of the top of his head, inside out. Is that what it was, Holly? Yeah, inside out. He's just this little angry character, the angry man. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Okay? An angry man. And so we're going to look at the angry man, and we're going to talk about some things about him. But understand this. Turn to Proverbs 21. It's for all of us this morning. Just because you're a woman and we're talking about an angry man does not mean that you cannot be angry either. Because the Bible talks about an angry woman. In Proverbs 21, in verse 9, it says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And so, listen, whether you're stirring up strife, whether you're brawling, it's for all of us. We all can have that passion rise up in us, and we need to learn to put it down. Amen. Especially as Christian individuals, we don't have to be angry. We can learn to temper it. And so that's our study. We're going to focus here on the book of Proverbs. So turn to Proverbs 27, and we'll begin. Here is just a simple definition from the Webster's 1828 dictionary. Anger is instant displeasure. Because oftentimes you can get, I mean, some people get angry fast. Some, it kind of has to build upon them. It's called a violent passion, indignation, or rage brought about by words, actions, or objects. And that's what causes us to get angry. It says in Proverbs 27 in verse 4 that wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. I lost my verse there. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? And so maybe we'll even look at the envious man later, but we're talking about anger. So I found this, I thought it was neat. Someone has likened anger to a volcano. Number one, both erupt as a result of tremendous inward heat and pressure. You know, you can kind of feel yourself getting angry, can't you? You start getting that warm sensation, like building up in your head, and you feel it behind your ears, and it just comes up. Both manifest themselves in different forms. Both are preceded by warning signs. tightness in the stomach, sweaty palms, rapid heartbeat, heavy breathing, using emotional words. Both have devastating effects. Both result in darkness due to the eruption. Both bring coldness afterwards. Both cause damage to those who are the closest. Both cause immediate and long-term consequences. Both leave behind hard reminders of past eruptions. Both usually erupt again and again and again in the same area. Both continue to erupt until they consume themselves. Both expend energy which could have been used for other beneficial purposes. And so, let's talk about anger. So, number one, Proverbs 13, let's turn there. Again, this is a study in Proverbs, so we're moving back and forth. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about anger, the whole Bible does. But where does anger come from? Anger obviously comes from that part of ourself. It comes from pride. Sorry about that. It comes from pride. When we feel that we have been wronged or we are treated like we think that we shouldn't be treated, what happens? Our pride gets the best of us and then we can become angry. When we feel that we're right and somebody else is wrong, when we're being challenged, this anger begins to well up because the Bible says in Proverbs 13 and verse 10, only by pride cometh contention. And contention comes from what? Contention starts when somebody's getting angry. And so it's coming from pride. Pride will darken our mind to our own faults, and it will produce contempt towards others and a provoking speech. And then what happens? Then the contention starts, and we start trembling, and we start getting more angry and more mad until we say something that maybe we shouldn't or act in a way that we shouldn't. So it comes from ourselves. It comes from pride, but it also comes from our words. Look here in Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And you know what? You know that you can get somebody else angry by your speech, by saying certain things. And especially those who you love, maybe your spouse. You know what words you can say to get that spouse angry. And so you have power. The Bible says that there's power in the tongue. Yes. It can minister life, but it can also thrash out and cause death. We say, you know what buttons to push? What do? We're pushing those buttons. Those are anger buttons. And it's coming from our mouth. The biting and the devouring. Our tongue has the power to bless and it has the power to curse. Words are not just sounds that we have. They are living, powerful realities that can help or harm another individual. And so, often, yes, somebody that does not have control over their passions can cause themselves to get angry. But oftentimes there's an outside source provoking it, trying to turn it on, turn that anger on. But what does the Bible say? A soft answer turns away wrath. Meekness will pacify it. And we know when to calm our speech. You can see when there's a heated argument getting ready to take place. The soft answer, the humbleness, the taking a wrong can turn those words away. Where the anger doesn't manifest itself into wrath then. Turn to Ecclesiastes 7, just one book after Proverbs. Let's see what the characteristic here, some examples. Ecclesiastes 7. Here we see that it's connected with foolishness. Verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. And we don't want to be a fool. Only a fool is one who doesn't know when to give up. The fool just keeps going and going and going. The Bible talks about that. The fool is stubborn. The fool is wanting to get the last word in. The fool is the one where the anger just resteth in the bosom of a fool, the Bible says. Turn to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Here, though we're talking about anger, we're also looking at the fool. Again, Proverbs is great because you can kind of get both sides in one verse. A fool's wrath, Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. A fool, they'll let you know that they're angry and that they're getting angry and that they're going to be angry and they're going to tell you what they're going to do. That's what a fool does. That's not wise. You can see it manifest in their face when somebody's getting angry, the pressing of their lips together, the redness, the eyes getting smaller and tighter. It's just, these are the characteristics, and it's foolish. Proverbs 14 and verse 29 says this: he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. It's wise to just take time to really hear or to react in a slower manner. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. If you're just going to run right into it, it's not going to be good. That's why everybody always says, you know, just take a minute. Just take a breath. Just stop and really think if it's really worth it to interact with this object, with this person, to say those things, to go that way, to do that thing. Because remember, we talked about prudence. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. He's not wanting to get involved because, you know what, that could turn into a very bad situation very quickly. And so let's stay away from it. Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. Again, what is strife? Strife is that bickering, that back and forth, that contention that's going to take place. But every fool will be meddling. He just keeps getting in it. He keeps egging it on. He keeps going for more. That's foolish. And we don't want to be fools. Stop. Stop with the meddling. Stop with pushing the buttons. Just cease from the strife. Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. In verse 19. So we see anger's characteristic is that of a fool. And we don't want to be a fool. We want to be wise. But look at anger's consequences. Verse 19. 19, 19. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. He's just a fighter. You know? No, he's a fool. He got in trouble for that same thing, and now he's doing it again. He's suffering the same punishment over and over again because of things he says, or because of the way he acts, or because he's so hasty to just want to jump at whatever it is. The angry man is always quarreling. He's always getting in trouble. The Bible we saw says an angry man stirreth up strife. And so it'll bring punishment. And it destroys yourself and it destroys others, as we saw in that little analogy with the volcano. Wrath killeth the foolish man, the Bible says. Another thing too is you never know what another man is capable of doing. You never know what another man is going through at any given time in his life. And if you're going to be foolish and you're going to try to meddle in that business, you could end up getting hurt and hurt pretty bad. Because that man might not know how to control his anger or his passion. Just stay away from it. It's madness is what it is. And anger obviously can lead to murder. That's when people take other people's lives. They don't do it just like, ha, ha, ha. No, they do it when they're mad, when they're angry, when words or actions have taken place in their life and they feel that they shouldn't be wronged that way, and it's their pride, and their pride is suffering now, and so they're going to go attack that individual that has caused them to feel that way. Yes. And so listen, we are better than that, amen. We're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're learning to apply the Bible to our life. And so we're going to try to walk higher than that. And we're going to try to respond differently than the lost man would respond. Because if we begin to meddle with it, who knows what can happen. It just opens up to all different kinds of evil, the Bible says. Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit, that means he's not disciplined. He doesn't know how to subdue his passions, is like a city that is broken down and without walls. What does that mean? That means the enemy can just come right in. There is no boundaries set up in your life. And anything can come in and cause all kinds of destruction in your life. You see, the body must be subject to the mind, and the mind must be subject to Christ. And when our mind is subject to Christ and we learn of his word, it can subdue the body. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you. In Philippians 2, which was also in Christ. And it talks about some things. It talks about temperance and it talks about self-control. Well, hold your place there in Proverbs. Go to the New Testament, the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Now we have to understand how we temper this, Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27, because it does say, be ye angry, but then it says, and sin not. And that might be difficult. Be ye angry and sin not, because when you're angry, it oftentimes leads to sin, unless it's coming from some type of what we might say righteous indignation, and one of the only individuals that I believe that can properly fulfill this would be the Lord Jesus Christ, because he can be angry at sin and not the sinner. He can have anger where he said, this house shall be a house of prayer, and he's overturning the money changers' tables, he's grabbing a whip, and he's driving people out. Be ye angry and sin not. Look at what it says here. Because what's going to happen is we the longer we allow passions to fester or to burn, the greater they can become. It says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. But it's connected to verse 27. Neither give place to the devil, because that's what we do. We give him place then. We leave that door open just a little crack, because you know what? We're laying in our bed and we're thinking about how that person did us wrong, or how they said something wrong to us, or it might even be the one who's laying next to us and we're mad, and we might even be murdering somebody in our heart, Jesus said, because when you're angry without a cause. In Matthew chapter 5, again, he took the law and he made it so much more spiritual and practical. He said, if you have hatred against your brother without a cause, you've committed murder in your heart. We talked about that when we looked at the Ten Commandments. And so, listen, don't let the sun go down. Try to take care of it. And listen, I know it's tough, especially when it comes to your spouse. And you're both there together, but you're both not talking to each other. And you're angry about something, which in the long run, it's probably minimal. You know, granted, it could be something great. But deal with it. Get it over and done with. Too often anger controls the man, not the man controlling his anger. And so we need to be careful about that. And we need to understand that the lost man has no control. All right? The lost man has absolutely no control. That's why heinous crimes are committed. That's why we see people do the things that they do, is because they have no control. But we can have control as Christian individuals. We can allow the Spirit of God to control us. By the way, if we're still there in Ephesians 4, so we've seen some characteristics, we've seen some consequences of anger. What about anger in the Christian, because we are Christian. We still have passions. We still have this body of flesh, and we get angry, don't we? Well, understand this first and foremost, that anger is a work of the flesh. It's not of the Spirit, because we see the path that it takes and the wrongs that can be done from it. It's not coming from love when we get angry like that. And it grieves God. Ephesians 4, look here in verse 30 through 32. Said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, we can let that anger fester because of unforgiveness and because somebody did us wrong. And now I feel like I have the right to be angry at that person because of what they've done, but I'm only hurting myself. Night over and night after night after night, and it's festering and it's in my mind through the day. What am I doing? I'm becoming bitter. I'm unforgiving. And you know what? But the Bible says that even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, so ye forgive. And so I need to forgive that individual, because the crimes that I have committed against God are greater than the crimes that that man has committed against me. And so I just need to look to the cross. Amen. Anger has been put away. It's been put off, according to Colossians 3:8. Put off those things. Put on the new man which is created in Christ Jesus. Separate. Look at this. Go back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 22. Maybe you work with somebody that just flies off the handle. Maybe you work with a very angry individual, or maybe your employer, your boss, or your superintendent, or whoever it might be, or a coworker, is just a very angry person. I've worked with them before. The Bible says we are to separate from angry men. As much as is within you, keep your distance from that person. Because you know what? His anger is going to stir your anger. Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25, the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You know what? Again, evil communication corrupts good manners. You hear that evil man speaking. You see the way that evil man, angry man, is acting and speaking and what he's doing. And somehow it like gets a hold of you, and then you start acting that way too. It's crazy how that happens, is it not? You start speaking the way that they're speaking. You start acting the way that they're acting. It's because of this flesh that we're in. Listen, we become what we read, what we watch, who we associate with. That's why we need to be careful. Little eyes what you see, little ears what you hear, little hands what you touch, little feet where you go, as the Sunday school song says. Because I'm going to end up learning those ways. And I don't want to be an angry man. I don't want to be a hater. I want to be a lover. Let your anger be against sin if you're to be angry about anything. Amen? Let it be against sin. Not against your spouse. Not against another saint of God. Because, listen, we're all just sinners, but they're saved and they're trying to live the Christian life. Let it be against sin. So, Proverbs 12, let's go there. So as a Christian, we need to learn to contain, cover, and control our anger. And it's something that we can do. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the Church of God can all help minister to this, to help me with my attitude, to help me with this passion. And so we need to learn to use wisdom and prudence, as we've talked about, and self-control. Proverbs 12 and verse 16, the Bible says, and we said this, when a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers shame. We need to learn to bear things patiently. Sometimes we need to just ignore things, what somebody may say, or an action which somebody may do. You know how they say, sometimes pick your own battles? You know, do I really want to get involved in that? Yeah. or just let it go, because it'll be forgotten about tomorrow. It'll be forgotten about in 2-3 days. Can I just stay on this straight and narrow and press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in the Lord Jesus Christ? I need to be in control of my passions. And so the prudent man, remember, he ponders these things. He takes some time to consider whether he wants to get involved or not. And so I'm going to stand afar, and I'm going to analyze the situation. Proverbs 19, verse 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. You know, he knows how to just let it go. Sometimes, just let it go. Just let it go. Just, it may be a big deal right now, but really it might not be that big. And so just let it go. Just overlook it. Sometimes you have to, right? And the Bible even says to do those things, to defer it, to not get involved in it, to not meddle with it, to just leave it there and let it be. Give it some time. Think about the outcome. Step back. Don't regret it later. Simon and Levi, it says, or Simeon and Levi in the Bible, it says that they, in anger, they slew a man. In their anger. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:8, wise men turn away wrath. Just go the other way. Just walk on. Let it go. Proverbs 14. I'm going to rifle off 3 verses real quick. Proverbs 14, verse 17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. You're going to do something stupid when you're angry. Proverbs 15, 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. I want to be the appeaser, not the one who is causing it. Proverbs 16, Proverbs 16, 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. There is glory in this, amen? There is a great sense of satisfaction that you can bring to your life knowing that you've deferred this, that you've passed over it, that you've appeased it, that you are in command of yourself. That, listen, say what you say, do what you do, but I'm ultimately responsible for me. Amen? So, let's be careful. Let's not do to him as he did to me. Let's not give them a piece of my mind. Let us remember that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay, if it's that big of a deal. So, in the house, on the job, in the church, wherever you may be, let us learn. To subject ourselves, to submit ourselves to the Spirit of God, and let the Spirit lead us and guide us. And it's okay. Remember, Moses, he was the meekest man, the Bible said. Yes. It's okay to be meek. Meekness is not weakness, it's power under control. And it's good to know that you have control over yourself, control over the situation. While this guy's over here is losing his mind, he's going to do something stupid, and he's going to regret it. Yes. But you are in a place of peace and contentment. Amen? Amen? Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for what it teaches us. Thank you for this lesson on anger. Lord, let us not be like the angry man. But Father, let us exercise wisdom and prudence in our life to be able to take control of these matters. Bless now our time together and our morning worship hour. Lord, speak to our hearts, and may your word accomplish its purpose. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. You're dismissed.